Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see
him. Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and today's show is for the 23rd of August 2017. We have finished up with the book of Job, and now we will be going into the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, depending on which translation you're reading. This is going to be a tough one, because there are many controversial statements. And I'm going to be reading from several different translations and comparing them. Let's get started in chapter one. Let's do a little preface here. It's part of a collective of the Megilloth, the scrolls. And there are several songs here. There's not just one. And they were all collected after Solomon's death, and Hezekiah wrote down, had them all written down. And this is got a lot of reference to undivided territory, where the kingdom was still together when this was written. An example: First Kings chapter 4, verse 32 is linked to the Song of Songs. It says, the Song of Songs, which is Shlomo's. Okay, that's verse 1. And there's the first song, and then the second song, and the third song. This is collection. It's not all on the same subject. It's not all referencing. And it sort of jumps all over the place, and it's pretty tough to understand, because he didn't make it really clear of whom he was speaking. It's all poetic, and it's about human love. Historical depictions of human love and marriage. A lot of people didn't want it included in the Bible, but it is. It's been in there. There are many that say, and I will have to list myself among them, that this is about, in many cases, love for Israel itself, the tribes, the nation of Israel. And shows Yahweh's love for Israel. This is not all about sex. As Solomon and the Shulamite woman in here, and a shepherd, which is trying to turn the woman's heart away. It's very, very complicated. This is not an easy read, nor will it be an easy job for me to do this. Pardon me while I clear my lungs a second. Very hot and humid here, and I have the air conditioner cranked. Pardon the noise in the background. I have no other way of doing this. A lot of metaphors, a lot of inferences. Whew, I got a job ahead of me on this one, folks. I'm going to be using the King James Version. I'm going to be using the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. I will be using the Brown Driver Briggs Cassinius Hebrew Lexicon. And Strong's, and they all have different interpretations of things. So pardon me if I go rather slow on this, because I'm going to be back and forth between references. I want to give the full take on this. This is not a really big book. It's only a couple of chapters. Eight chapters, to be specific, and they're not really that long. So I will read the King James Version first. I will read chapter 1, and I will give definitions as I do it. I have corrected the mistranslations in the King James Version. So they have used words like savor, in place of the actual word aroma, things like that. So let's get started here. Verse 1 is like a title. The Song of Songs, which is Shlomo's. That's the Hebrew name for Solomon. Verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love, 1730, is better than wine, 3196. Here's verse 3, where they change the meaning of the words. If you're reading in your King James Bible, it would say something else. But bear with me, this is the correct translation of these words. Because of the aroma, 7381, of thy good oil, 8081 is pure olive oil used as an ointment. Thy name is as oil poured forth. Same word for oil. Poured forth, 7324. Therefore do maidens love thee. Now this is from the feminine point of view. Verse 4, they move the word order around. Draw me, 4900, after you, 310, we will run. The king has brought me into his chambers. Okay, this is definitely the feminine point of view here. 2315, into his chambers. We will rejoice, 1523, and be glad, 8055, in you we will remember your love more than wine, the upright, 4339, love you. Verse verse 5. Now here is a contra that 5 and 6 are controversial. It says, I am black, 7, 8, 3, 8, but comely. Okay, 5,000. Now let's stop right here. That's 7, 8, 3, 8. That has black in the Brown Driver Briggs definition. Now let's go to the King James Version definition. It's Strong's Concordance. All right. Which one is that? That's 7, 8, 3, 8. All right. It's from 7, 8, 3, 5. Properly, dusky, but also absolutely jetty, as in black. All right, let's go back to Brown Driver Briggs. I'll read the verse over again. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar. Now that is the east. Okay, that's 6, 9, 3, 8. And let's go to the King James, 6, 9, 3, 8, and that equals dark. That is a son of Ishmael, the descendants of Kedar. Dusky, like an Arab, okay, that means dusky. As the curtains, 3, 4, 0, 7. Curtain drape of Shlomo. Now here we are in verse 6. We're going to have to look, they have black in both places. One is 7840. Now look, let's look at that. That means blackish in the Brown Driver Briggs, and in Strong's it means swarthy, as in black. Okay, and I have corrected that to swarthy. Do not look upon me, because I am swarthy, because the sun has looked upon me. Now that's dark tan by the sun. Okay. In the scriptures, by the Scriptures Research Institute, it says, because the sun has tanned me. That's an interpretation. But literally, it's looked upon. 7, 7, 4, 9, 5, shell. On account of, and then 7805. On account of, I am tanned by sunburning. That's shazaf. So that makes the interpretation in the scriptures correct. The sun has, because I'm tanned by the sun. That is absolutely accurate according to what's in the Hebrew. So, depending on the interpretation that you're reading, the translation, it would change the context. Now, King James is less accurate, but it gives you the Strong's number that you can look up. So let's continue on. I'm going to leave the King James temporarily at this point, and I'm going to read from the Scriptures. This is a much more accurate translation. Continuing on in verse 6, my mother's sons were displeased with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. My own vineyard I have not kept. And it says, my mother's children, in the King James, which is 1121, which is Ben, that is sons. Okay? The sons of Israel. But you get an absolutely white person that's an outdoor worker, say he's on a highway crew, and this is a white man. If he spends a whole summer with his shirt off working out on a highway crew, he's going to get burned, sunburned. He will be dark chocolate brown, which is not his natural skin color. We tan dark. We really do. And that's what this is discussing about here. And he's not discussing a Negro. This is not a Negro. Well, Solomon married a Negro. Don't know who he married. He married all kinds of foreign women. But this one is about a dark tan. And you, what do the women do today? They put the bikinis on out at the beach and they get tanned. Because dark tan skin was considered beautiful in those days. Let's move on. Verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul, I'm back in the King James, forgive me. My soul loveth, my being loves. It says, make known to me whom, O you whom my being loves. She's talking about a man. Where you feed your flock. Where you make it rest at noon. For why should I be as one who is veiled beside the flocks of your companions? If you do not know, O fairest among women, go in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd dwellings. See, it changes right there. From 7 to 8, it changes from the woman speaking to a man speaking. 7 is the woman speaking. 8 is a man speaking. Verse 9. This is the man speaking. See, this is what they haven't differentiated this. This is just really rough to read. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are pretty with ornaments, your neck with strings of beads. Let us make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver. Comparing him, he's comparing her to a filly. That's a female horse. In the service of Pharaoh among the chariots. While the sovereign is at his table, my nard, that's spikenard, that's a fragrance, shall give its fragrance. My beloved is a bundle of myrrh to me, lying between my breasts. Boom! 12 and 13 shift back to the female. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blooms in the vineyards of En Gedi. And it's dubious here who's talking at this point. In verse 12. And 13 is definitely female because it says in the King James, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night between my breasts. They jump back and forth. And that's what makes this so difficult. Verse 15. See, you are fair, my love. See, you are fair. Your eyes are as doves. That's really poetical. See, you are handsome, my beloved. Yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our houses are cedar. Our rafters are of fir. Now, that's the female speaking again. And it's jumped back and forth as conversation between a man, the shepherd, and the woman, the tan little honey. Wow. You talk, that's tough. They don't differentiate here. That's why there's so much controversy. And they said, oh, he's talking about a black woman. No, read the whole thing and study the words. Talking about a deeply tanned country girl. That is loved by the king, but this shepherd's trying to lure her away and she's sort of going for it. Now we got a man talking. Chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. He's talking about her. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the sons. She's talking about him. I delighted in his shade and sat down, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Oh, he brought me to the house of wine, and his banner over me was love. Verse 5, strengthen me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. This is her talking about him. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. Verse 7, I have put you under oath, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field. Do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. This is a woman speaking. The voice of my, verse 8, the voice of my beloved, see, he is coming, leaping on the mountains, skipping on the hills. This is poetic. My beloved is like a gazelle or like a young stag. This is definitely a woman speaking. See, he is standing behind our wall. looking through the windows, peering through the lattice. Verse 10. My beloved responded and said to me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For look, the winter is past, the rain is over, gone. The flowers have appeared in the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. In other words, it's spring. Verse 13, the fig tree has ripened her figs, and the vines with the tender grapes have given a good fragrance. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Okay. Who is this? This is the shepherd trying to steal her away. Verse 14. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the covering of the cliff, let me see your appearance. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your appearance is lovely. Verse 15. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vines, and all our vines are all blossom. Verse 16, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Now the woman is speaking again. He feeds his flock among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadow have fled. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of Bethair. So you've got a back and forth play in chapter 2. He's talking to her, look, the winter's over. Come out with me into the fields where I'm feeding my flock. Oh, man. This is some book. Now, this is the second song, okay? Different topic. We're going to finish that up. Verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3 are part of the second song. And in verse 6, the third song begins. Chapter 3, on my bed at night I sought the beloved of my being. I sought him, but I did not find him. Definitely a woman speaking. Come, let me arise and go about the city, in the streets and in the broad places. I seek the beloved of my being. I sought him, but I did not find him. Verse 3. The watchmen who go about the city found me, to whom I said, Have you seen the beloved of my being? Verse 4. Scarcely had I passed by them when I found the beloved of my being. I held him and would not let him go, until I had brought him to the house of my mother, and into the room of her who conceived me. Verse 5. I have put you under oath, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field. Do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. That's a repeat. They do that. Oh, my. That's verse 7 of chapter 2. And then verse 5 of chapter 3 is the repeat of it. I'm going back and forth trying to get this mapped out. This is tough, I'll tell you. So that'll be the end of verse 5. And I'm drawing lines here because I've got to keep this coordinated, otherwise I'll lose my place. Let's continue on, and this will be the third song, starting in chapter 6. Who is this coming out of the wilderness like columns of smoke? Perfumed with myrrh and frankincense from all the merchants' fragrant powders. Now here we're going to talk about Shlomo. See, it is Shlomo's couch. That's the thing they carried him, the king, on. They had poles through it and they lifted it up. He didn't have to walk. They carried the king. See, it is Shlomo's couch. 60 mighty men are around it, of the mighty men of Israel. Verse 8, all of them holding swords, skilled in battle. Each one has his sword on his thigh because of fear in the night. It's called a litter. Verse 9, Sovereign Shlomo made himself a litter of the wood of Lebanon. That's cedar. Verse 10, he made it posts of silver, its support of gold, its seat of purple. Within it was decked with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see Sovereign Shlomo with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding and on the day of his gladness of heart. Now this is the third song. And it continues in chapter 4 and goes into chapter 5, verse 1. That will be the beginning of the fourth song in chapter 5. And I really need to put a mark there in all these books. This is tough. I mean, I've got a whole big bunch of books and two computers going, and it's something else. This Song of Solomon is very complicated. So I'll make a mark, and that'll end Psalm 3. And I need to make a mark here. All right, let's go back to this. Now we go into chapter 4. And it's very definitive here. Verse 1. See, you are fair, my love. See, you are fair. Your eyes are as doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. All right. Fair. Let's, if I can get this court cursor to move. Let's look in 4 here. Now that's 33 .03 for fair from 3302. And that means beautiful. Okay, with the connotation of fair of appearance. And let's look at Brown driver Briggs. Fair, beautiful, handsome. That's an adjective. Okay. Let's get back to this. Verse 2. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep which have come up with the washing. That's pure white sheep. All of them bear twins, and not one loses her young. Your lips are like a cord of scarlet, and your speech is lovely. Your cheeks behind your veil, now this is speaking of a female here. See how they've switched? The first part of this, up until the beginning of chapter 4, was about Solomon. Now in verse 4, or chapter 4, we're talking about a female again. Bada bing, bada boom, they change around. Your cheeks behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 shields, all the armor of mighty men. In other words, she's got a long neck, long, slim neck, which is attractive, and she's got all this jewelry on it. Verse 5, your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle pasturing among the lilies. Oh, is this flowery? Until the day breaks and the shadows have fled, I shall go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Verse 7, you are all fair, my love, and not a blemish is on you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Speaking of the female, with me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinir and Hermon, those are mountains, from the dens of lions, from the mountains of the leopards. Verse 9. You have put my heart into me, my sister, my bride. Whoa! What is this? Let's look this up. My sister, 269. That's Akoth. That's used widely. Could be my racial sister. And it says, my spouse, a bride, as if perfect. Okay, that's Kala. So that defines that. He didn't marry his literal sister. That's against Yahweh's law. Let's go over verse 9. You have put heart into me, my sister, my bride. You have, like when we greet at tabernacles, greetings, shalom to you, sister, because she's racial kin. Not a literal sister. With one glance of your eyes, with one bead of your necklace. Verse 10, how sweet have been your loves, my sister, my bride. How much better than wine are your loves, and the fragrances of your perfumes than all spices. Your lips, O my bride, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue. Her speech is what he's talking about. And the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Verse 12, among all the cedars and the beautiful fresh everything. Verse 12, a garden locked is my sister, my bride, a fountain locked, a spring sealed up. Verse 13, your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, with henna, nard and saffron. And that nard is not like a nerd, it's spikenard. That's a fragrance. Nard, spikenard, and saffron. Calamus, that's an aromatic reed. And cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the chief spices. Verse 15, a garden spring, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Verse 16, awake, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, let its spices flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden. Boom, shifts from the male to the female, and eats its pleasant fruits. Oh, boy, this is rough. Now we're into chapter 5, verse 1. I have come to my garden, my sister, my bride. I have plucked my myrrh with its spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, and drink deeply, O beloved ones. Talking about a wedding feast. And that ends that song. Now the next song is the fourth song. That's the fourth song coming up, beginning with verse 2 of chapter 5. This is this next song has got references to complexion, white and ruddy, used in description of David in his youth. It portrays the beauty of Christ in that he was without blemish, the spotless Lamb of God. And it also shows in this next song about the church, the assembly of Christ that will be presented as glorious, not having a spot because of his cleansing of us. So this has multiple meanings here. It's not just about love, physical love. It's also has to do with the Messiah. I mean, this thing is intertwined so much. I really can't explain all of it. So this is the end of the third psalm. I want to go back over a few things because on Friday I will probably finish this up. These are not that long, but they are incredibly complicated. The jumping back and forth between the male and female speech is very confusing here because it's not clearly defined in the text that we have. They don't separate them. They should be separated, and I have tried to do that as best I can as we read along, but it has to be done during the reading. I haven't got this book computerized. A lot of the interpretation I'm going to leave to you, okay? Because it is so unclear, and I don't want to put too much of my views into it. Now, I know there's a lot of you that follow my shows, and you think I'm smart, and I know all of this and all of that, but I know when I bit off more than I can chew, and this is one of those instances. So let's go back. You've got a female starting out the first song. Then you go into verse 8 of chapter 1, and it goes to the male gender. That's a switch right there at verse 8. Okay, then you get into chapter 2. I'm struggling with this, as you can tell. Verse 2 of chapter 2 ends the male speech. Verse 3 begins the female talking about how he is among the sons. Well, he's among the sons. And then he brought me to the wine house. Okay, she's talking here. Until the end of the first song. And that ends at verse 7 of chapter 2. Then you start the second song in verse 8 of chapter 2, and it's the female speaking again until verse 10. Then the male starts to speak again. My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my love. That's where the man starts to speak. Rise up, my love. And let's see, we go down. And that ends chapter 2 from the middle of verse 10 to the end of chapter 2. And then in the beginning of chapter 3, the female starts to speak again. And it goes to the end of chapter 3. Or the verse 5 of chapter 3. That ends the second song. Pardon me. I'm fighting this tooth and nail. Nobody said this was easy. It's not easy for me either. Then the third song begins in verse 6. of chapter 3. And the female is speaking, or someone is speaking, of Solomon. And that ends, speaking of Solomon, at the end of chapter 3. Now we got chapter 4. That is a man speaking of the female, describing her beauty. And calling her my sister, my bride. And that goes all the way to the end of verse 1 of chapter 5. That ends the third song. And we will be beginning with the fourth song on Friday. So, this is... enough to make you tear your hair out if you're a translator. And then they've got all these words that they're using in here that need full explanations, like that black. They had two times they had black in there. And it doesn't mean black as in Negro. It means tanned by the sun. Dark, swarthy skin because she was outside all the time. And that's the Shulamith woman. They were herders, and they were out, and they had vineyards, and the girls worked outside and got that deep tan, like a lot of really blonde women get that beautiful tan, and the hair even lightens up because of the sun. This short book is not as easy as it appears on the surface. It just is not. There's only 8 chapters in this, and boy, oh boy. I'm an old hand at this. But when they get into this poetry like this, a song, all bets are off. All the rules are out the window. They go totally poetic on you. It's not like the recounting of history or the recounting of the laws where it's clear. Because Hebrew poetry and songs are not rhyming words like we do in English. They are rhyming of thoughts, and these are ultra-poetic descriptions of people, and they have multiple meanings. Not only are they talking about people, they may be talking about the entire nation of Israel, they may be talking about the Messiah to come. It's not simple. So, pardon my stumbling and bumbling today, but it's very, very hard, even though I've got extensive notes here and multiple translations, it's very, very hard to do these poetic chapters. They are just a bear. So, I'll be back on Friday, and we will finish up the Song of Solomon. We'll start at the second verse of chapter 5, all the way through the end of verse of chapter 8, and we'll get her finished up, and then On the 28th of the month, we will go into the book of Lamentations. So Song of Solomon is only going to be two shows, today and Friday. And I want to remind everybody that there's a new show coming up at from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, just before Yahweh's Covenant People, with Eli, myself, and Pastor Greg. We're going to have a show called the Pastor's Roundtable from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be a live call-in show. We will give the call-in information when we start the show. But it's going to be Eli, myself, David James, and Pastor Paul Mullett. And David has given up his rerun slot so we can have a live call-in show and get more audience participation. So you get a chance to ask questions that may have been on your mind. We will take in as many as we can and give full explanations, but it's going to be an exciting new show in which you, the studio audience, can participate. So that will be beginning on the 25th at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where David James' news slot repeat was. He's given us that. And we're going to have some good questions and some good answers and some good fun, as usual. So be prepared for that. I did a show for Monday, which was Eclipse Day, and I said, you know, be prepared. We don't know what Yahweh has in store for us. There might be some events that occur. Well, now was not the time. It was just a sign in the heavens, which is prophesied. There were no tremors. There were no volcanic eruptions. There were no tectonic plate shifts. So we skated through this one. We don't know what's going to happen at this upcoming Feast of Tabernacles in October. But we're going to have some mighty good preaching and scripture reading. Here in Kentucky, we're going to do a bunch of stuff. Medical, emergency medical stuff, herbal plants. I'm going to show everybody my go kit, what you need to survive for an extended period of time when you're away from home, in case you have to flee during the bad parts of the tribulation, which will be coming up. We can see the violence expanding exponentially. It's a shame. But we have been warned. Book of Revelations tells us that. The other books in the New Testament tell us that we are going to have these last days, and there's going to be Yahweh's wrath. The day of Yahweh is prophesied in the Old Testament all over the place. When he's finally had enough and he comes and takes out the bad guy. So I hope you join us on the side of the good guys. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be with you to my brothers and sisters. And I'll talk to you again on Friday with a new show. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. For